Burn. All right. So we're going to go ahead and start back up at verse 33, Jeremiah 51. We were talking last week about how God was going to bring such swift judgment upon them. They were going to be taken over so quickly that one messenger, one runner would meet another to share the bad news of how one more part of the city or another city in their kingdom had fallen to the enemy. And then we pick it up at verse 32 there before we cut into the new reading. I thought about this verse 32. The passages are blocked, the reeds, they have burned with fire, and the men of war are terrified. You can just see that there's such a great destruction coming upon them. You know, you think about reeds. Where do reeds grow? In the water. So you get an idea of kind of terror and destruction that they're bringing in their path with them. Verse 33, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. When it is time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me, has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has spit me out." Whenever it's using that word monster, it's like a sea monster, or, you know, like a leviathan or something of that nature, something, a huge terror. And that's what he was like, being used as God's tool. But his time will come as well. His time to be threshed is going to come as well. Verse 35, "Let the violence done to me and my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitant of Zion will say, and my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions' whelps. In their excitement, I will prepare their feasts. I will make them drunk. That they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord." As we look at that area of the world today, I mean, it really is just a wasteland there in the plains where Babylon once stood. I mean, there's just nothing about that looks habitable, you know. As we see, he just gave it over to the creatures. And they just devoured up everything that was left after the enemy had destroyed it all. In verse 40, now, how unbelievable that must have been to the people who knew what a great kingdom and city that this was at the time, you know. But we got to remember, it's God who has the ultimate power. There's no one too big. There's no problem. There's no aggressor. There's no enemy in the world who is too big or so big that God can't take them down. And there's no nation that's so great that if they rebel against God, God won't bring them to judgment. And I believe that includes us here in the United States. So we really need to be careful thumbing our nose at God, because he is God over all, as we've been seeing through these judgments that we've been reading in the latter part of Jeremiah. He brings them on people that were not his people. You know, none of these folks that are being listed here in this last part were people that really followed God as nations. God used them for a time, and now he's going to bring them to judgment just like everyone else on planet Earth, only he brings the nations to judgment here in our lifetime and in this realm as a group. And so we've seen nations rise and fall, haven't we? You look at history, some of the greatest nations of the world are like known no more, you know. You look at Egypt. Now, Egypt is a different people now, but you think about how great the pharaohs were. You think about how great the peoples of that time were. And just like it said in the Bible, there was going to be like nothing remembered of them, and it's true to this day, you know. We surmise, we try to figure out by their hieroglyphics and things what must have been happening during that time, because they are just like a not available anymore. They run into these ruins, you know, in different parts of the world where you find these lost empires. And sometimes I think, you know, if we don't quit rejecting God, is that going to be us someday? You know, if he tarries to come back, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And it, you know, I look at things and I think, man, it could be tomorrow. You know, it could be today. But they said that in the first century as well, you know, A.D. So, or 100 A.D., whenever Christianity was really getting started. They thought it would happen in their generation. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still waiting for him to come back, aren't we? And so we need to consider today and live in today, live in the present moment, as well as looking forward to what comes next. Verse 40, it says, I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Oh, how Shishak is taken. Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized. How Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. Oftentimes, the sea in Scripture is speaking of great hordes of people. So I want you to think about this. Medes and the Persians just coming in and sweeping over them, you know, just like water would sweep over something. And so just imagine, her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. I will punish Bel in Babylon. Remember earlier in the last chapter, it spoke of their false gods, and especially this god Bel. And so if you remember about Daniel, from reading the book of Daniel, we've been going through that on Wednesday nights, what did they rename him? Do y'all remember what his Babylonian Belteshazzar? So that first part of that is Bel, and it had to do with their god Bel. Yeah, and so what is all this really about? It's really about punishing their belief and their idolatry in these false gods. Where do these false gods come from? There's false gods like all over the world that are being worshipped, right? Where do they all come from? They are from the pit of hell. They are demonic counterfeits. As we discussed this morning, we were talking about, What did Lucifer get thrown out of heaven for? His pride. He was exalting himself. He was a minister of music to stand before the Lord. And from what we see in the Old Testament scripture, he was thrown out because of his pride of wanting the worship for him. And so what do false gods do? They try to take the worship away from the true God to an idol, to an idolatry. And so who's behind that? It's the same one who wanted the worship up in heaven. It's the same situation that continues to go on. And so God's saying in verse 44, I don't care who you are, if you're worshiping false gods, you're going to get punished for it. Even Babylon. And some would say, well, how could they be judged? You know, they weren't even God's people. They were just doing what lost people do. Well, you know, all lost people are even individually going to be judged according to, you know, our folly, and the only thing that helps us is our faith in our Savior. The only thing that can save us is the perfect Lamb of God, and even in their day, they were looking forward to the one who would come to take away their sin. So he's going to punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring out of his mouth what he has swallowed, and the nations shall not stream to him anymore. You see, they were gaining a following. A people were coming after these false gods. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall. If you remember a couple weeks ago, when we got into this, we looked at how Revelation parallels this. even in the future, whenever Babylon is no longer the city, it still represents a world system. And it's the system that revolves around, you know, all this luxury and especially all the sexual immorality. And it's what causes the Christians to be martyred today. And that's what we found in Revelation. And so then it was more like the people who literally were of Babylon, they had that same spirit among them. And now we see that that spirit lives on even though that place is gone. And so that spirit of Babylon is what just perpetuates so much of the sin that we find in the world that is so detestable to God. You know, the human trafficking industry and all of that, all the pornography industry, all of this stuff that just is drawing people away to other types of idolatry, so much of that is being just reinforced by the spirit behind Babylon. He goes on in verse 45, he says, "My people go out of the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord." You remember when we read that in Revelation, "Come out from among her," he says to his people. And because judgment is going to come down. And so at the proper time, at the given time, God even brought his people Israel out from among them before they were completely crushed, even after the Medes and Persians had taken them over. In verse 46, lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land, a rumor will come 1 year, and after that in another year a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon. For the plunderers shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on her carved images, and throughout all her land the wounded shall groan. So why did God bring the judgment upon his own people Israel in Judah and Jerusalem, and he allowed Jerusalem to fall? What were they doing that was so detestable to him? They were worshiping idols, weren't they? It was their idolatry. And so he used an idolatrous nation to bring judgment on an idolatrous nation that was his own, that to cure them from their idolatry, because their idolatry was worse than the destruction they were going to feel in their physical bodies, right? And as a nation. So it was all to bring back a cleansed people as a remnant to restart their worship again on the one true living God. And so God hates idolatry. What does idolatry cause, ultimately? Causes death on all levels. Okay? It causes death on all levels, even up to the point of human sacrifice. You know, we look at the abortion industry today. What do you think that really is? Those are human sacrifices. They are human sacrifices to all kinds of idols that people are holding. It could be, you know, many different levels of idolatry. It could be the idol of self. It can be the idol of fear. It can be the idol. An idol is anything that's more important to us than our worship of God. And true, it may be because they don't even really know God yet. But nonetheless, it's still an idol that's risen up above God that they're willing to sacrifice the child to. And so, you know, idolatry brings about death on all levels. And we need to always keep that in mind. Earlier in Jerusalem, or in Jeremiah, he talked about how even outside of Jerusalem, they were rolling their babies in the fires. I mean, you want to think about that, you know? Well, guys, we're selling our baby body parts. We're having our babies torn apart from the woman's womb, you know? Should be the safest place on planet Earth. Child grows up in a perfect environment for them to develop and is hooked up to life support the entire 9 months of gestation. And we know that there's, you know, because of sin being in the world, there's some abnormalities to all that. But for the most part, time after time after time after time, God does this beautiful miracle inside of the mother's womb. And then our world has disrupted that in such an unbelievable way. I mean, can you imagine at this point how God must feel about 63 million sacrifices? If the blood of righteous Abel cried out from the ground, can you imagine how much the blood of 63 million, you know, innocent children must be crying out to God? So what's the solution? Solution is we need to repent. We need to stop it. It really is necessary for us as a country to be able to prosper, for us to even be able to survive. It is absolutely necessary for us to repent of our idolatry. What other kind of idols do you think we've set up in our nation? Sports, entertainment. And so much of that revolves around another god, money. How much money do you think gets spent on sports and entertainment in our nation? I can't even imagine how many billions of dollars we're talking about. You know, hundreds of billions of dollars, I'm sure. You look at the kind of salaries that they just pay some of these sports stars who then won't even stand for the national anthem when the flag's being lifted up in the country that has protected them. You know, people have died to give them. It's very interesting how what a conundrum the whole situation is. It's just unbelievable, really. But believe it, because it's happening. It's happening every day. And so there's this god of money that just everything is revolving around, and materialism and pleasure and all these other gods, and just the god of happiness, the god of self, you know. You just look at that, and we just know that God's not going to put up with it forever. And he really wants us to be real about it. And that's why he gave us this book of Jeremiah that is sealed and is in God's word forever, so that whenever we look at this, we can say he didn't even spare his own people, Israel, here at this time. He's not going to spare us today. And so we really need to know he's serious about sin. He's serious about idolatry. He was serious about idolatry in Babylon. Verse 53 says, "There, though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord." And I think that that is particularly significant when you think about the Tower of Babel. And I tend to believe that it was an attempt to build a stairwell to heaven, right there, probably in that very same spot where this great empire was built. And it's still man trying to get to heaven. And he said, though maybe she was even successful to mount up to heaven, she still would have plunderers come in and take her, because I'm still God, is what he's saying. And he goes on in verse 54, "The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord is plundering Babylon and silencing her loud voice. Though her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered, because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their brows is broken, or bows, I'm sorry, every one of their bows is broken, for the Lord is the God of recompense. He will surely repay." That's why we don't take vengeance, right? Because vengeance is God's. We just let him take care of that. And, you know, even today, whenever we see these injustices happening in the world, we know that ultimately none of that's slipping under God's radar screen. And God is going to make things right that are wrong. And so we need to continue to look to him. And he can also protect his people whenever his people seek him. No matter how great an empire is that would come against, we know that God can actually protect his people. I'm reminded of a planned attack on a Christian community in Pakistan. So they called out to all their their Muslim jihadis or jihadists or whatever you call them, and said, meet us in a certain city because we're going to burn this city down. And so they all, a whole bunch of them got on this train and started heading that way, and the train derailed. And those people were not repenting of what they were going to do. The train derailed, and it killed most of those people that were coming to perform jihad on that particular city. And they realized at that point that their God must be with them. And many other people actually repented, and there were people saved because of that action. And what we know is God can protect, even from an attack like that, if we seek Him. If He chooses not to, that's His. He has a better plan. He has a bigger plan in mind. And so we just have to leave that in His hands and know that He is able to do what is perfect and right. Verse 57, and I will make drunk her princes and wise men, her governors, her deputies, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Zariah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and Zariah was the quartermaster. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Zariah, when you arrive in Babylon and see it and read all these words, then you shall say, O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So as we see that, we always have to remember that God is not slack in keeping His promises. He is going to keep His promises. He's going to keep His word. And this stone was thrown in there early on in the time of captivity, and it must have seemed pretty unbelievable at that moment in time, as powerful as this great nation was that came in and took over Jerusalem. This was even early in Zedekiah's time, and Zedekiah ruled for 11 years, and then whenever he was... He had rebelled against the king of Babylon. They were put under this siege, and Zedekiah was then carried away. And we're going to read about that in the next chapter. But even before all that would happen, even before, you know, the strength of Babylon was even tested, because I mean to tell you, they steamrolled anybody they came up against. They were so powerful. They were so great. They were so mighty. Can you imagine how foolish that must have sounded to some of the people that heard it? That God was just going to utterly destroy them. They were going to be a wasteland. There was going to be nothing left, and it was going to be a perpetual thing. It must have seemed unbelievable at that moment, you know. But just like He threw that, He tied it on His stone, He threw it out there, and it sank, and it was permanent. So shall the word of the Lord be. So the reason why I think that we look at that today and we really take it in and we realize that historically it actually happened. Historically, we can see the evidence of it today, and then we look at all of these future prophecies that are laid out on the table, and they are absolutely going to happen. You know, Peter spoke of the fact that since the Lord hadn't come back yet, there were a lot of people that, you know, were saying, well, it apparently isn't going to happen. Well, we're 2,000 years later, and it hadn't happened yet, but I can guarantee you it's going to happen, because everything that the Lord says will be accomplished, absolutely. And so we look forward to that, those that are on the right side of the fence. But, you know, we want to continue that more people will come to know the Lord. God knows who are His, and so we look forward to seeing heaven filled up with all those people that God has called to be there, that have received him, that have joyfully proclaimed him as their Lord here. And you know what? They're looking forward to being there with them. You know, there's so many people that don't want to go to hell, and I don't blame them. I don't want to go to hell either. But it takes a little bit more than that to be saved. There's a lot of people who don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven, but they're not so sure they want to see Jesus when they get there. And that can happen because of a selfish heart that just doesn't want to be punished for our sin. So, though we appeal to people from the reality that hell is real, we need to also appeal to people that really to be in heaven is to love Jesus, because he's going to be the central figure. God is going to be the central figure whenever we get there. It's going to be about him. You know, it's not going to be about us. Yes, we're going to enjoy it and we're going to be happy for it. But like, he is the reason, the purpose, he is the light that fills heaven. And we'll be basking in his presence forever. How awesome is that? I pray that sounds awesome to all of us, because it shows that we are going to be recipients of the crown of life. You know, Paul spoke of that. He said, I've finished my race. I've kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, right? Not only to me, but to all those who long for his appearing. Imagine, long for the appearing of Jesus. But at the same time, we're praying for those in the world to repent and come out of where they are at. You know, we can't, and we're not the judge. We're not the one who says who gets saved, who doesn't, thank God. We're not the one who says how a person should be punished for whatever they've done, thank God. I am so unholy. I probably, if I would have been the one to make the judgment, I would have destroyed a lot of empires and worlds that God has chosen not to. And praise God, he hasn't, because people are being saved out of those places now. You know, you look at the Muslim world, and I thought one day, God, this whole Middle East thing, it's just unbelievable to me how patient you have been with this whole region that has been so rebellious. And then ISIS comes along, and I'm thinking, look at this. It's just crazy what's going on there. You know what? ISIS brought people out of the Middle East that we could have never reached with the gospel. He used them as a tool to bring some of those people that were so deep into Syria that a missionary like us would have never been able to make it to them. We couldn't have survived long enough to get to them with the gospel. And he put them in refugee centers, somewhere where Christians are taking care of them right now. And you know, I pray to God that whatever refugees have come to the United States, that they're encountering Christians. We need to seek out to see if any of them are in our area. Because you know what? That's the opportunity for them to take the gospel back with them whenever they go. They're the missionaries who are going to go to the deep parts of the Middle East to take back their gospel back to their people whenever it's time. God sent them out, scattered them so that they could receive and come back. And I praise God for his manifold wisdom. You know, praise God for his manifold wisdom. They have said by reports that the fastest growing church in the world right now is in Iran. Can you believe it? Isn't that just incredible? The house church movement in Iran is just, it's exploding. It's just incredible. And one of those things that's being used there that's been helping so much in these days leading up to those, you know, to the return of Jesus is the internet teaching. There are internet Bible teachers who focus on the Arab world, and it's just helping them to be discipled where no missionary could infiltrate. That internet that's used for bad by so many people is being used by God for good right there in a place where persecution is so harsh. You know, if some of those folks would try to be discipled, I mean, like, they have little tricky ways that they go about doing this stuff. But still, when two people are meeting together in person, it becomes suspicious to the authorities. But they can turn on their computer and they can get it right there in their home, in a way that's not suspicious to anybody, unless they have a loved one living in their home. And what's interesting about Iran, they don't have a lot of persecution from family members, which is kind of cool. It's kind of cool. In fact, if their family member who's a Muslim finds out they have one of their children, they might persecute them a little bit more than anything. They try to keep it quiet because they are afraid of being ashamed if anybody finds out, because they're a very shame-based culture. And so if they can just keep it secret, that's actually their first choice. And because of that, the gospel is being able to be taken among friends and other family members, because they won't turn them in because they don't want anybody to know about it. And so it's a very interesting dynamic that God is using as well. Sinful dynamic, but God's using it. And whenever they do want to have their big gatherings, because here's the thing, guys, you know, we decide if we're going to come to church on a given Sunday by how we feel. Oftentimes, you know, when I say we, just kind of as a general term, hopefully you don't just feel that way. I'm very committed to being here. Even before I was a pastor, I was very committed to being in church every Sunday because I wanted what there was to receive there. Okay? But they want it so bad that they know that it could look suspicious, a whole bunch of people meeting in an apartment or something. So they have mock birthday parties, and somebody bring a birthday cake, and they just have a blast celebrating Jesus while they're in there. And if anybody knocks at the door, they light the candles, and they go over and answer the door, you know? And so they're very creative in the ways that they'll go about it, but man, they celebrate Jesus. They're celebrating Jesus in those apartments all over Iran, in the cities of Iran, because you can't hold the gospel back. It's going to go wherever God sends it, and it's going to grow no matter how much persecution there is. I mean, we could go on with the different areas that God grows the gospel. I pray that God would grow the gospel like that here. You know, that we would be overjoyed with the idea of growing in the Lord, that we would have parties at our houses for Jesus, that we would have parties and gatherings that are revolving around God's Word. And thank God we're free to do that. But you know, I think sometimes because of our freedom, we get lazy and we don't do it enough because we take it for granted. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, oh, that we would have that kind of zeal, that we'd be willing to risk our lives to go to a worship service. You know, we can go all over that persecuted map and go to Southeast Asia, where they'll sneak off into the jungle to do baptisms at night. But they so desperately want to worship God that they'll do whatever they have to do to do it biblically, you know, to have biblical baptisms. They could easily just sprinkle somebody, you know, in secret. But no, they want to be immersed. And so they'll hike out into the jungle where there's all kinds of scary stuff, so that they can be immersed in a stream somewhere. I mean, you just imagine the kind of zeal that takes and the desire. And that's why I encourage everybody to, you know, get a voice of the martyrs. Because I can tell you, God is going to destroy Babylon someday. And he's saying to his people, get out from among her. Don't be hanging out there enjoying her delicacies. Be basking in my presence and you'll be safe. That's what God wants us to do. So, I know there's a lot of different thoughts on eschatology and exactly how that all works out, but I can just tell you, Jesus is coming back. And judgment is absolutely coming. And there is absolutely going to be an amazing tribulation like has never been seen. And we have people going through tribulation right now. Jesus even said, in your life, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you will have tribulation. But there's going to be this great tribulation too. And I believe it's going to really happen. And it's going to be whenever God pours his wrath out on mankind, the rebellious ways of this world. And he wants his people to be separate from her, come out from among her. That's what salvation looks like, is whenever we decide we're going to come out from among the world and we're going to give ourselves to God. And so let's pray and praise God, and also encourage others to come out from among the world's ways. You look at all the pressure that's coming on us these days in our own nation to follow the world's ways. You know, this. I know there's a lot of discussion about things, but I can tell you can see some different areas where real physical persecution is looming. You look at people that are being sued because they won't go along with certain things, and you look at people that are even facing jail time because they won't go along with certain things that the world encourages, and they're trying to make the penalty stiffer, and there's people that are even saying things like, you know, it ain't enough just to get rid of Trump, we need to get rid of the people who put him there. I want you to think about these things, because all these things have implications, right? Those are those warning signs that, like, we really need to turn to God while we still have a great opportunity. And we need to encourage people. We need to use our freedom of speech to speak to others. We need to use our freedom of religion. It's not just freedom of worship, okay? Because there's a difference. Devil's okay with us staying inside these walls, pretty much. I mean, he would exterminate this if he could, but he definitely don't want it going outside of here. Because if it goes outside of here, then other people will be told and they can follow and they'll understand. And so God wants us to come out from among the world so that we can share this great treasure that we have. And he'll use us. Most definitely for his plan, but we need to be submitted to him. So let's pray that our nation will really get their heart. You know, the people, the Christians in the nation who really get it, that they'll really get it and really submit to what God's will is for our lives. You know, we can know it, but not really be doing it. There's a lot of things I know that I don't always just do, you know? And there's some things I can know would be good for me, and I don't really do them all. But on this one, to know it and to be a Christian, I think means to do it. And we really need to be doing what God's calling us to do. And that means living it according to his word. And he hates idolatry. I don't know how he could express it any greater. We're down to the last chapter of Jeremiah. Would you say God hates idolatry by now after reading through it? Absolutely. And he's not tolerating it. Well, let me pray and lead us in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you and we pray, first of all, for the church. Lord, and not just Cadet Baptist Church. We all sitting in this room know that your church is bigger than just this little congregation. Lord, we pray for your church to come out from among the world and the world's ways and to give ourselves fully to you. Lord, we're going to look odd to the people of the world a little bit, that we don't do certain things that they do, or we don't get involved in certain things that they get involved in. And I know that's going to be a little bit of a quandary, because they're not happy whenever we express our beliefs, because it brings conviction on them sometimes. The light reveals the sin. Help us not to be hateful in that. Help us not to be judgmental in that. Help us to just live it, because we know it's right to do it in a way that is winsome. But even then, people are still going to want to, they're still going to want to get rid of us. And we know it to be true, because Jesus, we know you are perfect, and they still want to kill you. So like, there isn't any perfect way to make everybody happy with us and still live for you. But the number one thing we have to be concerned with is pleasing you. And if we get that part right, you'll take care of the rest. And so, Lord, help us to live in a way that is very pleasing to you, that we actually functionally live out what we say with our mouths and what we say that we believe. And Father, I pray that you would bring a great revival on our nation, Lord, as your church, who are your people, who are called by your name, really do turn away from the world and turn to you. Don't try to look like the rest of the world, but actually humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. And then you will hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. And so, Lord, we are praying that you would do that. We know that ultimately, in the long scheme of things, Jesus is definitely coming back. We don't know the day or the hour, but until then, let us be serving you. And let us work till Jesus comes. And Lord, let us work according to your strength and your power and for your glory. Let it not be about us. Let it all be about you. And let us exercise the freedom that we have to preach this word. Lord, help us to live it, help us to preach it, help us to exercise the freedom of religion that we do enjoy here. But even if they take it away, let us still know that we're free in Christ to worship you. They find ways in Iran. They find ways, Christians do, in North Korea. Christians find ways to fellowship with other believers in the jungles of Southeast Asia and all across the globe. And so, Lord, help us to know that it's right to follow you and that you are the solution to the problems. Father, help us not to make friends with the ways of Babylon, because she's going to get destroyed in the end. And her destruction is going to be complete. And so, Lord, she may look powerful now. We see all the stars that are so popular from Hollywood encouraging people to get abortions. And they stand up and try to look real intelligent and really sophisticated as they brag about the abortions that they've had. Lord, we know ultimately that's a wounded person that's standing there. They're hurting on the inside. And they're just trying to insist that somehow they were right so that they don't have to deal with that hurt that's deep down inside. So God, we pray for them and we ask that they would come out from among Babylon as well. As I think about all this and I'm praying, Lord, I pray for Kanye West, and he has proclaimed you, and it seems to be a genuine thing that's happened in his life, and I'm sure Satan would love to try to deceive him and throw things out there to make him stumble so that it might bring shame on your name. But I pray that you would establish him in what is true and right, that you would firmly establish him, that he might be a shining example of a man who's born again. Lord, redeem his entire family. And Lord, you've done the work of redemption on the cross. Now I pray that you would do the effective work of redeeming them, that they might be truly, fully receiving your grace and being born again to live for you. And I pray, Lord, it would just be a shining testimony of your greatness. And I thank you that every one of us have a testimony. And Lord, we need to use that for your glory. We need to tell that to others. Thank you for Kayla and for Kevin, who came today. And Lord, I just love to hear how you so radically transformed their lives just around 8 years ago. For Kevin, and Lord, how you're powerfully using that young man, that young family here in our community. And Lord, I pray that we would just live in joyful expectation of what you're going to do. How we know that you're still pulling people from the flames, Lord. You're still plucking those from the fire. I'm one of them. I was so close to hell, and yet you just pulled me up and lifted me away from those flames that I could live for you. And Lord, so many more. And so let us celebrate. Let us live for you. Let us continue to proclaim you everywhere we go and with everyone that we meet in some way. And Lord, we know people are in different places, different levels. Our proclamation looks different according to who we're in front of. But Lord God, let us never be ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. To the Jew first and then to the Gentile, Lord. And we know you can save anybody. So Lord, use us. Help us to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen.